Good morning, everyone. So how often do you find yourself complaining about our government? You might complain about the president, you might complain about the governor, you might complain about your mayor in your city. You might complain about the congressman. And it really doesn't matter who's in office because we've always got something we can complain about, right? At least we think we do. We are so blessed in this country, and yet sometimes we can whine a little too much, I think, because we forget about how blessed we are. We might complain about the police. And is there anyone in here who's never gotten a traffic ticket? If you have never gotten a traffic ticket, raise your hand. You should have never raised your hand. They're going to get you on your way home. I'm impressed. I didn't think anyone had never gotten a traffic ticket. But when it happens, well, what's your attitude? You know, I've always been intimidated by the police, so if I have an attitude, it's all in here. I don't display it. But, you know, we may have that attitude that, you know, I can't believe they pulled me over. Haven't they got better things to do? They should be out catching all the drug dealers. Or maybe your complaint is that didn't they see that guy 15 minutes ago who came through here even faster? Or the one that passed me yesterday? You know, life is just so unfair. I can't believe the police pulled me over. But, you know, it's a blessing to have the police. It's a blessing to have speed limits. It's a blessing to have stop signs and traffic lights. Because without them, our world here in America would be pure chaos. And what good would those things be if the rules that they represent were not enforced? What difference would it make if the speed limit in Cottage Hills was 40 miles an hour, if you could go 100 miles an hour and never get in trouble for it? What would happen? People would be going 100 miles an hour and it would not be safe. And so those laws make our lives richer because they make our lives safer. And we need to appreciate that. We are blessed to live in this country. God has blessed America. And you're going to hear me say that over and over through our lesson this morning. We are blessed to have a police force. You might complain that your taxes are too high. But I want you to consider what it was like in the first century when it comes to taxes. The Jews could be taxed at any time. You could be carrying something down the street, maybe fruit or grain, or maybe you had just bought something at a market. And the tax man could come up and tax you based on what you were carrying. And you know what it took to be a tax collector back then? The office of the tax collector was sold to the highest bidder. It'd be like buying a franchise or something. You know, and because the tax collectors had a reputation for being crooked was because they had a responsibility of the amount of money that they had to hand over to their authorities that they were responsible for. But anything they could skim over and above that went right into their own pockets. Imagine if you pulled out of the grocery store and you just filled up the trunk with groceries and the IRS guy pulls you over and says, okay, obviously you've got some money. I just seen you fill your trunk. Pay some taxes to me. I mean, we can't even imagine that. And yet that's what it was like for Jews in the first century. The tax collector would tax people as much as they were allowed to tax, or as much as they could get away with. There was an income tax, a poll tax, a sales tax, an auction tax, an estate tax, an excise tax. You paid port duties. Jews would pay the temple tax. They would have to pay a third of their grain or half of the fruit that they might have. When you look in Luke chapter 19, in verse 8 at Zacchaeus, he said, when the Lord had impressed him,
Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." He probably knew what he was guilty of. And he realized what he needed to do, because that's what tax men did back then. And again, I say, God bless America. God has blessed America. And we need to thank God regularly, because we are blessed to live in this country. And we need to ask his blessings on our country as often as we can. Well, imagine that it's late at night and you're in bed. Kids are all put to bed. It's the middle of the night and there's a knock at the door. And that's something that I don't think any of us ever want in the middle of the night, is a knock at our door, because it is a frightening thing. It almost always means bad news. But imagine you get this knock at the door, and you look out, and there's the police standing there, or maybe some other type of government official, and you open the door, and they just shove you out of the way, and they march into the house, and they find one of your children, and they take him out on the front lawn, and they dispose of that child. And I don't want to be any more graphic than that, but just imagine what that would be like. How terrifying that would be. But as Americans, that is beyond our comprehension. Because in America, we have laws. In America, we have rights. And legally, that could never happen here. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, I want us to begin reading in verse 13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, 'A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more.'" This was Herod the Great. I don't think he was so great. He was hated by the Jews. I think he was half Jew. He was a friend of Rome. And just that alone earned him a lot of hate. But can you fathom the terror of that night? You know, we read those verses and we almost think of it as being something that happened as it was a long time ago, but we don't give it a lot of thought as to what actually happened when he made that decree. The people had no rights. He was able to do that. And have you ever thought about how many parents died during that? How many parents do you think died because they died defending their children who were going to be taken? How many siblings that survived were haunted the rest of their life because of what they witnessed happened to their baby brother? You would never forget that. And think of those parents that survived, the anger and the grief that they would have. How could any Jew from Bethlehem and those surrounding districts, how could they ever side with Rome or with Herod and his henchmen? You can imagine how they had such an incredible hatred for the tax collectors, because they were part of that. They were supporting that with the taxes they collected. Think about in modern day Africa what's going on right now. You can go online and see images of the children that are forced to carry arms and kill people. They raid a village. They kill the fathers. They send the women off into slavery. The little girls go into slavery. The little boys sometimes are forced to kill their parents in order to indoctrinate them. And they force them into soldiers. I mean, there's pictures, real pictures, of 6 and 7 year old boys carrying AK-47s. How could we ever complain about this country? That could not happen here. Legally, it could not happen. God bless this country. God has blessed this country. Imagine living a life like that. I mean, we think we got it bad because we get a speeding ticket, or because we may have to pay a little bit more than we'd like in income tax. And yes, our government maybe doesn't use the taxes as well as we would like, and there's waste. But imagine living a life like that. I pray that he continues to bless our country. Well, what if you innocently tell someone that something isn't right? Now, this is starting to be an area where we may get ourselves into trouble. I just read this morning online that there's a baker in Oregon who bakes cakes and bakes wedding cakes. And in 2007, Oregon passed a law called the Equality Act of 2007 or something similar to that. And in just about every law that demands equality among its citizens, there are exceptions when it comes to religious beliefs. That you have a right based on your religious belief to maybe not go along with a portion of that law. And in this particular case, this baker was asked to bake a wedding cake for a homosexual couple. And he refused. And he said, because of my religious beliefs, I cannot do this. And the Oregon State Attorney General right now is trying to bring a legal case against him because he's breaking that equality law of 2007 that doesn't have a religious exemption. So, in that respect, things are changing. But imagine, though, that if you tell someone based on the scriptures, you know, what you're doing here really isn't right. And the next thing you know, you're thrown in jail. And you're not just thrown in jail, but you're thrown in the most incredibly horrible prison system that you could ever imagine. With no trial. And there's never going to be a trial. You're there maybe forever. And then time goes by, and the next thing you know, you're yanked out of your cell, and you're executed. All because you told someone, you know, what you're doing really isn't right. Here's what the scriptures say. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, we're going to begin reading in verse 3. This is Herod the Tetrarch, the son of Herod the Great. For Herod had laid hold of John, talking about John the Baptist, and bound him, and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, had told Herod, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So this Herod was just as evil as his father. And when this man, John the Baptist, told him it's not right what you're doing, he wanted to put him to death. And he would have. But he was a little bit concerned because John was pretty popular. Verse 6, but when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. He really got wrapped up in whatever kind of dance she performed. And therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Now imagine you have all authority and you make such a ridiculous statement. I mean, that just shows his quality of character. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head on a platter." Or, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths, and because of those who sat with him, in other words, people heard him say what he said, so he had to go by his word, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. How do you think that would affect your attitude towards Rome if you were one of those followers of John the Baptist? What would that make you think about your great King Herod? I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 13. You know, there are laws, obviously, that we don't agree with in this country. And we understand the principle taught in Acts 5:29 by Peter that we ought to obey God rather than man. When God's laws, which are higher, are in conflict with man's laws, we ought to obey God rather than man. That's our responsibility as a follower of God. But here we are in the midst of this Roman Empire, and I've said it many times before, one of the most vile governments to ever exist. And this is what the Apostle Paul told the Christians their responsibility was to that government, beginning verse 1. Don't ever let us think that we have an excuse other than God's law to go against our laws here in America, because we don't have a scripture to stand on. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he, that is the authority, is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. In other words, don't do the right thing just because you're afraid of the consequences if you break the law, but it's the right thing to do for conscience' sake. Here's where it gets painful. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, they are God's servants, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to go there in just a moment. You know, I get that property tax of mine, and it just drives you crazy. But then I think, you know, my kids had a really good education for 12 years. And the kids that are in school now need that same education. What right do I have to say that those who supported my children, I don't have a responsibility to pay taxes for the other kids? That's what we do in this country. The taxes on my tax bill for property tax go to pay the city and to support the police force and all those other things that we need. I mean, would you have liked to have had to take a dirt road to church today in this weather? Absolutely not. If somebody here has a heart attack, aren't you happy that we can call for help? If this building starts to catch on fire, aren't you happy we got a fire department we can call? There's a lot of places in the world that don't have that. You fend for yourself. The place burns down.
Yeah, we got to pay taxes, but you know what? Yeah, there's some waste, but we get a lot for our money. Just being able to be a citizen in this country is worth it. Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, we have a similar message from Peter, beginning verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. I love this next verse. Mine says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, obviously, we don't have a king here in this country, but we have a president. Whether we like him or not, he deserves honor and respect. God bless this country. God bless America. It is truly a blessing to be a citizen in this country. God has blessed us, and God has commanded that we pray for our country. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And we understand that. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. I think that's probably a common thread in a lot of our prayers. We pray for our country that peace will be here in our country. We pray for our rulers that make decisions. We pray for their advisors that they will be able to maintain peace. And that's what God wants us to do. I think it's not only our duty as citizens to pray for our president and for our leaders, but it's obviously our duty as Christians also. And you may be praying that decisions will be made that are different from the ones that have been made already, and that's okay. But we need to bring our prayers to God. We need to ask God for his blessings on our country. We're going to sing a couple of verses, a couple of hymns here, that I've seen in hymnals before, but in my lifetime, I've never sung these in church before. But we're going to sing them, and I'm going to ask you to all to stand. Brother Will's going to lead us. On the back, that'll be on the screen, but also on the back of your bulletin, the words are there also. Bless America. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home. Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. That felt good. We express to our Lord our wishes that He bless our country and how much we love our country and how we need to stand with our country and how much we appreciate the home that God has given us here in this country. And we describe the beauty of our country in that second hymn, the amber waves of grain, talking about how plentiful we have it here in this country. I've never heard of a famine in our lifetime here in the United States, have you? There's famines that happen all over the world, but I've never heard of any here. Our country is rich in crops, in the produce we produce, all a blessing from God. And in that hymn, we ask God to continue to shed His grace on us and on our country, and to crown Thy good with brotherhood to bring us together from one shore to the next, from one shore to the other. What a wonderful thought that was. And I tell you, you guys did a beautiful job on that hymn. Thank you, Will. You pitched it perfect. That's one of those songs that you can get in trouble if you don't pitch it right. You know, almost everyone in this world wants to live in this country. Not everyone, but almost everyone wants to live in America because they know we're blessed. This is where you go if you're going to live the good life. You go to the United States. This is where the abundant life is. It is great to be an American. We're blessed by God to be here. But you know, there's more to life than just being an American. There's more to life than just living here. There's a lot of people in this world, Christians, who will never know the blessings we know, who will never live in this country. They are living in some of the worst conditions that we can ever imagine. And yet, they're living an abundant life because they've obeyed the Lord. It doesn't matter if they're in a village, in a thatched, roofed hut, or if they're living in a desert in Africa. They're our brothers and sisters, and they're living an abundant life. I think about Jerry and him preaching the gospel overseas. And when you have these people living in the most absolute squalor that we can't even imagine having to live in, and that's a normal life for them, how incredible it must be when he starts talking about the kingdom. How incredible it must be to them when they think about the heavenly home, because it's so much better than what they've got. You know, that's part of our problem. We love it here. You know, it's almost like, who needs heaven? I got life in America, you know. But we got to be careful. Our life can change instantly. America is not going to last forever. And we're fortunate to live in this time to be a part of it. And our physical bodies is not going to last forever. I think about the obituaries that I read. I've talked about it before. Jean, when she worked for me, she read the obituaries every day. And she would come in and tell me, Mr. So-and-so passed away. Mrs. So-and-so passed away, one of my patients. And she kept track of that. And I thought, how could anybody read the obituaries? There's one thing I read in the paper every day. I read the obituaries. I guess I'm getting old. And the thing, you know, I'm 55 years old, and the thing that shocks me is how many people I see that are younger than me that are in the obituaries. And it makes me appreciate the fact that I'm still here. I just got notified yesterday of a patient of mine who was 51 that died of cancer. And the last time I saw him, he was perfectly healthy. That was less than a year ago. 7 months later, he's passed away from cancer. And that could happen to any of us. I don't know
if you've noticed a difference in Oscar's disposition this morning. You know, he's really been through a lot the last 6 months. All you got to do is look at him. He told me, I think if you consider before he first started losing weight, about 90 pounds he's lost. And he found out Friday that he does not have cancer, that he is now on the road to recovery. Now, if you saw him Wednesday night, you know, he was trying to be his normal cheery self, but you could tell he was downtrodden. His countenance had fell because he was worried about what he was going to find out when he went to that doctor Friday. But his test came out good. He's a new man. And he's got a smile on his face, and I could see it yesterday that he's walking different because now he knows he's on the road to recovery. And what a blessing that is. But our bodies, I got bad news for you, Oscar. In a few years, we're all going to be turning our bodies in because they're not going to last forever. In Hebrews, we're told in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. So whether we're blessed in this country or we're blessed in a country that doesn't have physical blessings, we still can have the blessings of Christ. We can still be grateful for the heavenly home that God is promising us. Yeah, we might get a speeding ticket. We might get sick. And on and on and on, things are going to happen in our life that aren't too pleasant. But we can be made stronger by remembering whose kingdom we're really in. This kingdom in the United States is not going to live forever, but God's kingdom is. And we can be a citizen in God's kingdom. If you're not a citizen in God's kingdom, I want to encourage you to think about it this morning. Yeah, you're blessed to be an American. It's a wonderful thing. But it's even greater to be a Christian, to be a citizen in the Lord's kingdom. Being in God's kingdom, you can have your sins forgiven. Christ will be your king in that everlasting kingdom. And death will have no power over you. Yes, death still might be painful. It still will be scary if you're fortunate enough to know it's imminent. But it's going to be easier because you're going to be assured of that blessed assurance that you're going to be saved. You can be spiritually alive today. You know, you may be sitting in your pew right now and you're as dead as can be because you're dead in your sins. And if you're not a Christian and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can sing this hymn with us this morning that you're not ashamed to own your Lord, and you can come forward, you can make your confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can make a decision in your mind that you're going to repent of your past life and you're going to start living life for Christ, and you can be baptized into his kingdom this morning. You can do that and you can be made alive. But you may be a brother or sister in Christ who's sitting in the pew right now. And you're dead also because Christ is not living in you right now. And you can make that right. 1 John 1, we're told that we can confess our sins to the Lord, and he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're a Christian and you haven't been living right, you can make things right this morning. While we're singing this hymn, you can confess to the Lord and ask him to forgive you, and he will. And you can leave here alive in Christ and his kingdom again. Don't leave here a dead person this morning, because we don't know what's going to happen when we walk out this door. I want to leave you with a couple of things. Always appreciate the country we live in. Ask God to bless our country. Ask God to be with our rulers. But more importantly, thank God that you're a citizen in his kingdom. And if you're not a citizen in his kingdom, we encourage you to become that citizen this morning as we sing this hymn. Let's all stand and sing.